Third Canto, chapter 9.
Yeah.
Text what?
18.
It's on 18. The board.
Okay, yeah, I got it. I got it. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All right. Yasmad Viveme. Aham api griparardha dishnyam adhyasitaha sakala loka namaskritam yat tepe tapo vaho savo Varurutsavanas Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Dhimakaya Tubhyam Okay. Yasmad Bibhim Yahamapi Dwarparada Dishyam Adhyasita Sakala Loka Namaskritam Yat Te Peta Po Bahusavo Varurut Samanas Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Dhimakaya Tubhyam Yasmad Bibhim Yahamapi Dwaparardha Tishyam Anyasita Sakala Loka Namaskritam Yat Te Peta Po Bahusavo Varurut Samanas Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Dhimakaya Tubhyam Yasmat Bibhim Yahamapi Dwaparardha Tishyam Yasita Sakala Loka Namaskritam Yat Te Peta Po Bahusavo Varurat Samanas Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Dhimakaya Tubhyam
Yasmani Deva Hamati Vipara Dishyam Matya Sita
Okay, anyone else? I guess no. Yasmat, from whom? Vibhemi, fear. Aham, I. Api, also. Advipararda, up to the limit of 4,300,000,000 years, times 2, times 30. Times 12, times 100 solar years. Wow. Of course, you're not going to be able to repeat that. So, let's start again. Up to the limit of 4,300,000,000 years.
Up to the limit of 400,000,000
years. Times 2, times 30.
Times
12, times 100 solar years.
Times 12, times 100 solar years.
Disyam, place.
Place.
Adyasitaha,
situated in.
Sakala
loka,
all other planets.
Namaskritam,
honored by.
Yat,
that. Tepe, underwent.
Tapaha,
penances.
Bahu savaha,
many, many years.
Avaru
Rutsamanaha,
desiring to obtain you.
Tasmai,
unto him.
Namaha,
I do offer my obeisances.
Bhagavate,
unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Adimakaya,
unto him who is the enjoyer of all sacrifices.
Tubhyam,
unto your lordship.
Translation, your lordship, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you who are in the faculty of all time and the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Although I am situated in an abode which will continue to exist for a time duration of 2 horardhas, although I am the leader of all other planets in the universe, and although I have undergone many, many years of penance for self-realization, still I offer my respects unto you. So you can repeat, your lordship.
Your lordship.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Who are indefatigable time
and the enjoyer of all sacrifices.
Although I am situated in an abode
which will continue to exist
for a time duration of 2 parardhas,
although I am the leader of all other planets
in the universe,
and although I have undergone
many, many years
of penance for self-realization,
still I offer my respects unto you.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Brahma is the greatest personality in the universe because he has the longest duration of life. He is the most respectable personality because of his penance, influence, prestige, etc., and still he has to offer his respectful obeisances unto the Lord. Therefore, it is incumbent upon all others who are far, far below the standard of Brahma to do as he did and offer respects as a matter of duty. Interesting, that word duty here. So again, yasmad bibhem yaham api dvipurar jatishnam adhyasita sakalaloka namaskritam yat tevetavo vahusavo varurutsamanas tasmai namo bhagavate dimakaya tuvyam. So omagana timidanda sha gananjana shalakaya chakshurun meditam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So here in this particular verse, and Srila Prabhupada's commentary, of course, Lord Brahma is pointing out a problem that many of us have. And this problem is summarized by Queen Kunti. And that summary she gives is what? Janmaishvarya Shutashashibir Enamana Adhapuma. That we all have some opulences. Of course, we do know that Krishna is full of all opulence. That's why he's called Bhagavan. You know, all strength, all renunciation, all beauty, all knowledge, like that. But we have some opulences, right? I mean, we're a little bit beautiful or handsome. Of course, when you get older, that sort of goes away. But we have a little bit of that, a little bit of intelligence, a little bit of renunciation, a little bit of fame. And the problem is, according to Queen Kunti, that these things go to our head, or heads. Queen Kunti lists some of the opulences in this particular prayer. Janma, good birth. Of course, for most of us who are from the Western world, we don't have such good births, as we hear. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. And so for most of us, it's like that. And actually for everybody in Kali Yuga, except for those who are especially, let's say, Krishna-conscious souls from their very birth, we find Janmana Jayate Shudra. Samskara Bhavat Dvijam. That in Kali Yuga, everybody by the first birth is considered to be a Shudra. So we don't have anything to be proud of in that regard. But Janmaishvarya, wealth, we're proud of wealth, right? Like if we have some money, I've seen many times in our movement when a devotee comes in contact with a lot of money, whether they're temple president, GBC, or guru, there's a tendency to be bewildered. And I've even seen devotees, when they've inherited some money from their parents, that's maybe the last time we'll see them for a long time. Or they win the lottery. Hopefully they don't play the lottery. So, Aishwarya, you know, wealth, and Shutasya, or learning. We've seen many devotees who are extremely intelligent and then they think they're more intelligent than their spiritual master or more intelligent than Prabhupada. I've seen it again and again and again. We had one devotee who was a Bengali expert and he thought he could find fault in Prabhupada's translations of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he became very proud of that. And then, and Srivir, of course, bodily beauty. So we, this is what Queen Kunti mentions. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also talks about some other things in the Shikshashtaka, he says. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani sure bhavata bhakti hai pakit wave. That Lord Chaitanya is talking about other bewildering factors. Followers, dhanam, wealth, Sundarims, or if you have lady gurus, they're Sunduras, if you understand what I'm talking about. So, you know, we're followers. So these are factors that actually cause anarthas to develop in our hearts. And you'll find in the writings of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who writes in his Madhurya Kadambini about the causes of anarthas, of course, what to do with them, how to get rid of them, etc., like that. Of course, anarthas, for those of you who don't know, means things that you don't want, like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. These are anarthas. And of course, in the progressive path of devotional service, we're supposed to be getting rid of these anarthas. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions where these anarthas come from. This is very interesting in this particular context. One place that anarthas come from is very easy to understand. Is sinful activities. Obviously, if you start smoking marijuana, having illicit sex, gambling and taking, you know, eating meat, you're obviously going to develop some anarthas there. But it's also, anarthas also come from pious activities. That's a hard one to understand, isn't it? How can anarthas come from pious activities? I'm not talking about spiritually pious sukriti activities. I'm talking about material pious activities. Like if I decide to open up a hospital and the hospital has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. Or let's say, all right, let's talk about COVID right now, since this is the topic of the day. If I decide to go on the internet and encourage everyone to get the vaccine, of course, some of you will hate me for this one. Hopefully, no one here in this room. And I don't connect it with Krishna in some way, that's, of course, accepting that it's pious to take the vaccine. So if I don't connect it with Krishna in some way, it's just a pious activity. And how does it create anarthas? Because I think that I am the doer. That I am creating someone's good fortune, you know, or helping people surmount the negative aspects of this material creation. If I don't add Krishna consciousness to my activities, somehow or other, even if it's in the mode of goodness, it can cause the development of anarthas in my heart. Because I'm the doer. You know, Krishna's, you know, he's all right over there. But I'm the doer. And so that's another cause of anarthas. And then the third cause, there are actually four causes. Third cause is very easy to understand, is offenses against Vaishnavas. And this, of course, is very prominent nowadays with the internet and social networking and stuff like that. Because people take great joy for one reason or other in criticizing others and engaging in what we call ad hominem attacks. It's one thing to disagree with someone philosophically. Like right now, we're having this whole discussion about whether ladies can become gurus, or Vaishnavis, not ladies, Vaishnavis can become gurus. And so, you know, you can have a philosophical discussion. What does it say in this shastra? What does it say in that shastra? But in many cases, it gets to the point of what we call ad hominem attacks, where you start to criticize the person who is making an argument that you disagree with. I mean, it can get to the point is you don't understand shastra. You're just bewildered by the illusory energy. And that's an offense. If we say that to another devotee, of course, the guru can say that to his disciple. That's not an offense. You know, it's not that the guru says to his disciple, you are bewildered by the illusory energy, and the disciple says, you're committing an offense, an elephant offense, Guru Maharaj, because the first offense in chanting is not to criticize those who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. But In most cases, if you criticize someone on a personal basis, and you see this going on so many times, then that creates anarthas in your heart. And of course, ultimately, those anarthas cover you up so much that you lose your taste for chanting. Sometimes devotees are thinking, you know, why am I having so much trouble chanting now? When I first joined the Hare Krishna movement, it was so blissful. I just picked up my japa beads that I wanted to chant all day long. I went to kirtan, and now I can't even do it. My japa beads, where are my japa beads? Somewhere. Anyway, wherever they are, they are. They feel like bowling balls. You know, bowling balls? Is that, can you imagine like 108 bowling balls in a bag and just picking up the bag? So, because they've committed offenses, you lose your taste. Your taste becomes diminished to second class, third class, or tenth class, as Prabhupada describes, nectar devotion. So, one has to be very careful. Offenses against devotees, offenses against the holy dham, offenses against the deities, offenses against prasadam. Prasadam is non-different from Krishna. I mean, we become very complacent after some time. You know, when we first joined the movement, we didn't commit any offenses because we hadn't seen any devotees. And then we become complacent. You know, it's just Yogindra. Or it's just Dweebush. It's just that, you know, and then we put a label on them, you know, a negative, pejorative label on the devotee. And then that's our spiritual life goes down the tubes. We don't have a taste. Because the whole point of Krishna consciousness is what? To have a taste for hearing and chanting. Dharma swanishita pumsam vishvaksena katasu yad. No padiyad yadi rutim. Shrama evi kevalam. It says if you do everything else nicely, you know, you're doing your deity worship nicely, waking up early every morning, eating your prasadam, glubjamans nicely every day. But if you don't develop a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, then it's all like spinning your wheels. Of course, you probably don't know what that means. For those of us who come from the north, that means you get this snow and you get stuck in the snow. Anyone ever have that happen to them?
We do it with the mud here.
Okay. And then you have a rear wheel drive car and you just push down on the accelerator, it goes and you don't get anywhere. You just get deeper in the mud, deeper in the snow, and then you got to get the tow truck or someone to get you out of there. So that's the point. If you're not really developed, the whole point is why we hear. We're here to develop a taste for hearing and chanting. That's really the point. And we're here to bring others to that point. And that's if you have to talk about a vision for New Taliban or a vision for any ISKCON temple, it's to bring others to the point and give yourself the opportunity to get a taste for hearing and chanting and love Krishna. That's it. I mean, if you're talking an overall, you know, mission or vision statement like that, why are we doing what we're doing? And all the paraphernalia, everything we have, you know, money, building big buildings, and, you know, I'm for buildings. I understand you're going to have a nice temple here. This is a nice temple, but you're going to have a bigger temple. But you have to keep in mind the purpose. The purpose is people. That's the purpose of everything you do. The purpose of the vegetables, the purpose of everything is to bring people closer to Krishna. And if you read Prabhupada's original documentation on Prabhupada's corporation, you'll see that it's a purpose. He makes that point, you know, bringing the members closer together to, and I don't remember the exact wording, you know, to focus on the divine entity, Krishna. I'm just paraphrasing what Prabhupada said. So anyway, so one has to be very careful about offending devotees, offending the holy dham, offending the deities, like that, I already mentioned that. So then, the last source of anarthas, which is actually in line with today's verse, Someone just sent me a comment. Whoops. Chat window. Oh, someone just told where I was. The last sort of anarthas, which is in line with today's verse, is the byproducts of bhakti. This is what Lord Brahma is talking about. Because Lord Brahma got his position because of his bhakti. You know, he's a great devotee, a pure devotee, the head of our sampradaya. And being the head of our sampradaya, he executed great austerities, which is mentioned in this verse. In the beginning of creation, he didn't know what was happening. Everything was dark. And then he certainly heard the sound, what? Tapa, tapa. And he had such great faith. You know, we'll talk about faith. Can you imagine if you go to your spiritual master and you say, Guru Maharaj, give me an instruction, and he simply says, tapa, tapa. What would you do? Or he translates it. He says, do some austerity. I mean, you wouldn't know what to do. So Lord Brahma sat, I think it was 100 years of his time, and then he had all the truths of Krishna consciousness, the Siddhanta, the tattvas, everything, and everything revealed to him, and he was able to see the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he had all this opulence, his position, all this opulence, and so here he's stating that in spite of all this opulence, he's remembering specifically the time factor, isn't it? And there's one word used here in the verse which I thought I'd comment on, which is not really in the translation, but it's in the word-by-word, translation. It's, let me just go back to the verse. Okay. This is bibhemi, which Prabhupada translates in the word-by-word, but it's not actually in the total translation. Fear. So he's fearful, but not fearful of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's fearful of the time factor, and ultimately he's fearful of illusion. As Prabhupada said, he said, you Western boys and girls, of course we're not boys and girls anymore, so now I'm going to rephrase it. You Western old people are not enough afraid of Maya. So here's Lord Brahma, topmost position, but there's this fear. Now, it's not an unhealthy fear. You know, there is an unhealthy fear, you know, when you're shaking all the time, afraid of God, he's going to punish you, you know, he's mean, or whatever. But he's afraid of all these different opulences, his long life. See, he's contrasting in this verse, if you read this verse. He's contrasting his opulences here. He says, I have such a long life. So this is an opulence. Health, long life. But he's saying that because I'm fearful of you, because I'm respectful, let's change the word fear a little bit here. Because I have this healthy respect, awe and reverence. That's a better expression for right now. Because I have this awe and reverence towards you and fearful of forgetting you, therefore I am offering my obeisances unto you. And so this is my understanding of this particular verse in Lord Brahma's prayer, that yes, I offer my obeisances to you, and I hope I will never forget my position as your eternal servant. And that's actually our duty too, to always remember that we are eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is our identity. And as soon as we forget that, then we're caught up in another upadhi or another false designation of self-centeredness. So we'll keep it short. Anybody have any questions? Yes, Dribhut.
I Upasya, what specifically did he do? And the first part, the second part is, what is the why and the what is the purpose of Upasya? Why did the Lord make Upasya like that?
Well, what he did, that's actually an extremely good question. What he did is he chanted the mantra. And the mantra is none different than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're talking about the process of devotional service, hearing and chanting. So he heard, and then he engaged in meditation. Because tapasya, for tapasya's sake, is not valuable. For example, we have our Ekadashi. So if you, on Ekadashi, you simply fast, which is good, and you don't increase your hearing and chanting of Krishna's name, fame, and glories, then what is the value? Because the whole point is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Now, this is interesting. I was just reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita the other day in our evening class, and there was a discussion about the followers of Madhvacharya called the Tattvavadis. Now, the Tattvavadis, Lord Chaitanya had an argument with them, and of course he defeated them. But the Tattvavadis differ from us in two basic ways. One way is they consider the sadhana to be the following of Varnashram. Not Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, nine processes of devotional service. And they consider the sadhya, or the goal of spiritual life, to be liberated. Or to have one of the types of mukti, even the Vaishnava muktis, like Sarupya, Samipya, Sharsti, Salokya. So Lord Chaitanya differed with him on both of those points, because our sadhana is not Varnashram. Varnashram is useful to regulate society so people can be peaceful. I'm not talking against Varnashram right now, because people need to be engaged according to their psychophysical nature. You know, if someone's inclined to be a Brahmin, let him be a teacher. Someone's inclined to be a Kshatriya, let him manage. If someone's inclined to do business, let him do business. Let him take care of the cows, Vaishya, etc. So I'm not decrying or criticizing Varnashram at this particular point. But that they consider that to be the supreme methodology to follow Varnashram. And also in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussions with Ramananda Roy, that was the first point Ramananda Roy brought out when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him what is the method, and then Lord Chaitanya rejected it. So in both of those stories in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, or pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya differed from that understanding. So when we're talking about Varnashram, that's not really what makes us Krishna conscious. So there's not the austerity or the physical giving up of things. Let's talk about that in terms of austerity. Does not make us Krishna conscious. It's the Shravanam Kirtan. Lord Chaitanya made the point that it's the nine processes of devotional service that are our sadhana. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
It's a very important point. It's in the ninth chapter of the Majjalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's really amazing how much we discover in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're doing this reading every night online, the Chaitanya Charitamrita for an hour. And we have about 40 to 50 people join us every evening on Zoom. And how much we're discovering about our philosophy, about our methodology, and about Krishna consciousness in general. So then as far as the sadhya, the goal, The Tatlavadis consider the goal to be going back to Godhead. Now you may say, isn't that our goal too? But no, it's not our goal. Our goal is pure love of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya elaborates on this in his Shikshastika. Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Bhavatad Bhakti Hoitukitwaye. And also, Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me, but you're completely free to do anything and everything, and I'll remain your worshipful, you'll remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So that is our goal. So it's very important to keep that in mind. Although in the beginning, yes, we are motivated by the idea of getting the heck out of the material world. I remember that was one of my main motivations. When I would take rest every night as a young brahmachari, I would pray to Krishna to kill me at night and take me back to Godhead. And I prayed, my dear Lord, please kill me. I guess that's different than the prayer that the Christians have, you know. Anyway, I pray the Lord my soul to take. But anyway, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Please kill me. Of course, Krishna never fulfilled that particular prayer. Maybe in some parallel universe he did, but not in this universe. But liberation is not our goal. I mean, yes, in the beginning we tell people go back to home, back to Godhead. You get to see these nice Suravi cows and desire trees. You get to have any flavor of ice cream you want from the Suravi cows. I'm sure you've all heard that before. And, you know, pakoras, you know, even the Suravi cow can give you pakoras, ice cream, gulab jamuns. Wow, I want to go there. But ultimately, that's not our goal. I mean, ultimately, you come to the point, after some time, hopefully after 50 years in the Hare Krishna movement, that anyabhi lashita shunyam jnana karma navratam anukul yena krishnana shilanam bhakti ruttamam, which is Rupa Goswami's nutshell verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Ultimately, you know, just Krishna, I just want to serve you. I want to serve my guru life after life. Like Prabhupada in his poem, his offering, he made an offering to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, I have no hope for direct service in the coming crores of births. But just let me remember, and I'm paraphrasing right now, my humble position relationship to my spiritual master. So this is actually our goal. And the method is Shravanam Kirtan. We shouldn't forget that. And everything else we do is meant to support those two things. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Everything else we do is meant to, and we do a lot of things. You know, just like this morning I had a GBC meeting, so I have to question, is it supporting my goal of accomplishing that, bringing other people to hear, chant, remember Krishna, and bringing myself to hear, chant, remember, and have a taste for doing those things? So I have to question myself, because life means having strategic planning, just like yesterday we were talking with Dwi Bhuja Prabhu about strategic planning for the community, and it's actually very important. You know, to have everything organized professionally. I agree, see? I love you, Tribus. That's nice, at least someone does. So he had a very good point. So with our own lives, we have to think like that too. You know, what are we trying to accomplish ultimately? Why are we doing what we're doing? And so Lord Brahma, He engaged in the ninefold process of hearing and chanting, specifically hearing and chanting. And he was chanting the mantra. You have the Gayatri mantra like that, which I'm not going to give you in class. So, does that answer the question? Yeah.
So what did Lord Chaitanya say to convince the Tatlavadis?
He said that. He said, you're just following ritualistically. I mean, And then they admitted, they said, yeah, we know it's like this. I'm paraphrasing again. But this is our party line. Actually stated, I thought that was really humorous. Now, that's not what Madhvacharya taught. But you find that the followers, even of a great personality like Madhvacharya, who is a great pure devotee in our sampradaya, they tend to change things a little bit, or a lot. So we have to be careful in this context of doing that. So they said, this is our party line. That's why we do this. That was interesting. I found that quite an interesting response that they made. They agreed with Lord Chaitanya and they said, this is our party line. So we have to be careful when people ask us about things, why do we believe what we believe in? You say, this is our party line in ISKCON. You have to know why you believe in something and not simply follow, like Prabhupada said in the Bhagavad Gita, purport, no blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Such an interesting thing. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is such an amazing book. I mean, I'm reading it for this umpteenth time, but this time I'm actually going over it with a fine-tooth comb for all the devotees online. And actually I'm saying that I'm learning new things each time I read it. Prabhupada's books are like that. I mean, if you just sit down and read it like a novel or something like that, you're not going to get so much out of it. You know, oh, that's a nice story. Lord Chaitanya did this, and Lord Chaitanya saved his follower from the Bataharis. That's an interesting story, too. It's interesting. You know, stories, yes. Pastimes, yes. Interesting and purifying, but there's really a lot of deep things the more you go into Prabhupada's books. So, any other questions? Probably time for prasadam, right? It's interesting, here you just see everybody's outline of their head when you're giving class. The only way I know is Dwi Bhujan is because of the gray hair.
It's because we have a backlight.
Yeah, the backlight. It makes it a little more difficult because I do like to interact with people in class, and it's just.
And it's dark inside.
It just, what's that?
No light comes in.
Yeah, it's just an interesting phenomenon I experience here when I come in. Yes. It's amazing. Thank you very much for that comment. That discussion about the Atmarama verse. Oh my God! And you have so much respect for Lord Chaitanya's intelligence.
He is the greatest scholar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would think, really, you don't seem to know a lot about it, except for the, the Jalgram Shield story. But it actually, that's a part of the, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami asked him to have a blessing. He was asking over Goswami.
Yeah.
And he said, yes, I'll give you my blessing. He said, one condition, you don't mention it. You don't tell anybody anything I've done. Even when he was editing or working with, I think it was Sanatana Goswami's Paribhasa Vilas, is that, or was it Rupa? And then he was working with Jiva Goswami on, I think, the Sandharvas or something. He didn't want any recognition for that. At the same time, like you were saying, what I was meditating on is that these devotees, they say in the spiritual world, he's that manjari or that coward boy, but they're coming to assist the Lord in his pastimes. And what you were saying, My goal right now is to assist Prabhupada in his pastimes, and that may be in some other part of this universe or but you can be simultaneously, if you are absorbed in that service, experiencing, if your heart is pure enough.
Yeah.
He could just desire something, like a desire tree, and then this Radha-Raman deity appeared out of the stone.
Right, right.
And then he thought, my father told me to worship the form of Lord Chaitanya, and I wish I could do that. And then Radha-Raman became Lord Chaitanya. But his desires was like just being in the spiritual world. You see, in the material world, this is the spiritual world. And if you have a pure enough desire, you can, it's the same.
That's a fact. That's actually a good point. Although, sometimes when Krishna helped the devotees got really upset that they were taking service from Krishna. Like the story of Raghunath Das Goswami, he was chanting on the banks of the Radhakund and Shyamakund, and Krishna was standing, guarding him, protecting him from the tigers. And Radharani was protecting him from the sun.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so there's that story, and then in the story of Rupa Goswami preparing this sweet rice for Sanatana Goswami, and he had gotten the ingredients from Radharani. Mm-hmm. You know that story, right?
Partially.
All right, so Rupa Goswami wanted to prepare some nice prasadam for Sanatana Goswami, who was his elder brother. And so what he did, as he was thinking, you know, but how am I going to get the ingredients? So a little girl comes up to him and gives him all these nice ingredients, you know, milk and rice and sugar and whatever it was. And then he prepares this, and then he invites Sanatana Goswami for prasadam. Sanatana Goswami takes this prasadam. He says, where did you get these ingredients? And Rupa Goswami describes the little girl who brought him the ingredients. Sanatana Goswami starts chastising him. He says, we are meant to give service, but not take service. So it's interesting. Yeah, it's a fact. I mean, these pure devotees, they're also simultaneously in the spiritual world. I mean, there's stories about Srinivasacharya when he would go into trance, meditating on his spiritual identity in the spiritual world. He would sometimes bring things back from the spiritual world, like garland or something like that. So it's hard to imagine the, I mean, I cannot even imagine the consciousness of these great pure devotees. But their whole their consciousness is, you know, theoretically, to describe it, is just simply to please Radha and Krishna.
But that is exactly my point, that it's hard for me to explain it, but because they came to assist, but they were already, they appear to be, you know, finding out about Lord Chaitanya, but they're instantaneously on this very ecstatic level. And so it's, been meditating on, it's like we're very, very, well, I am very, very, you know, far away from all those kinds of, you know, feelings. And my coming to Krishna process is nothing like the way Gopal Bhatta drinking the Charanamrita and going into ecstasy. And nothing, there was a struggle and still struggle. So, but they're showing us what can happen if we actually really understand that it's about the qualities, developing
right.
These qualities. That's, you know, I've been getting out of it. I don't know how I'm expressing myself.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's very clear. Thank you.
Specifically, envy.
Envy. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, fear. Narthas. So any other questions? We should end because it's time for Shana. Yes, Yogi.
Any other suggestions for developing our case for hearing and chanting? Do you have a project?
I mean, just keep that in mind. I mean, I'm not going to micromanage everyone's life or micromanage the temple here or anything like that. But the point is, if you keep your mission or your vision in mind, then everything else falls in place. If you just say, this is the goal, this is why I'm doing whatever I'm doing, then I think your actions will necessarily fall in place. You know, maybe write it on the wall of your house. That, like they do in big... You turn my microphone off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That sounds like a GBC meeting when they cut your microphone off after 2 minutes. So it's like those old theater things where they take a hook and pull you out. You ever seen that? You ever seen those old things?
You say, they do that in the theater.
They do that. So just like if you work for some big company, you know, like Tesla, Microsoft, whatever it is, they always have like this mission statement of the company, and it's all over the place, you know, to remind you of why you're doing what you're doing. I remember I was taking a course on strategic planning, and they were talking about Starbucks. I've never been to Starbucks, believe me. And they said their motto is to give customers a unique coffee experience. And so they have this drilled into their minds all the time. This is their vision. And, you know, that's one reason. Well, I don't know if that's the reason they're successful, but, you know, we really have to be focused, ekeha kura dandana, focused on why we're doing what we're doing rather than simply what we're doing. But we tend to get into the what and forget the why. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, and now why is prashadam? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.